Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 13, The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord at Rathayatra, Verse 2.13.1.39. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, My dear Krishna, formerly when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind does not accept it. There is no place in my mind for jnana yoga or dhyana yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in jnana yoga and dhyana yoga. It is not right for you to do so. Srila Prabhupada, the process of mystic yoga, the speculative method for searching out the supreme absolute truth, does not appeal to one who is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. A devotee is not at all interested in speculative activities. Instead of cultivating speculative knowledge or practicing mystic yoga, devotees should worship the deity in the temple and continuously engage in the Lord's service. Temple deity worship is realized by the devotees to be the same as direct service to the Lord. The deity is known as the Archa-Vigraha or Archa-Avatar, an incarnation of the Supreme Lord in the form of a material manifestation, brass, stone, or wood. Ultimately, there is no difference between Krishna manifest in matter or Krishna manifest in spirit because both are his energies. For Krishna, there is no distinction between matter and spirit. His manifestation in material form, therefore, is as good as his original form, Satchitananda Vigraha. Devotee constantly engaged in deity worship according to the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastra and given by the spiritual master realizes gradually that he is in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he loses all interest in so-called meditation, yoga practice, and mental speculation. Because meditation, yoga practice, mental speculation, these are all part of an ascending process that you're trying to, from your position, get to a transcendental position. But the difficulty comes is that it's based on the Lord being pleased, right? Because how can we elevate ourselves up to that platform, right? So then using knowledge, using the meditation, these aspects, then it's only by the Lord's grace that they'll work. So then the point being made is, Radharani's making the point, is that why would you bother with this? You just directly deal with Krishna. Right? Because it's active. Because the point is meditation, you're thinking about Krishna. But in this case, it's inactive. It's not that you're doing something. It's not like it's specifically a service. You're remembering. But it's a meditation on the Lord where it's an appreciation, but it's not dynamic. Mm-hmm. So because she has that sense of possession, there'll be dynamic action. Right? And so it's not going to be attractive. Right? Because just appreciating only without that sense of attachment, then the difficulty comes up is that there's no activity. The appreciation is as far as it gets. And that's if you come to that platform of samadhi. And then the point is just because it's samadhi focused on the Lord, that's because he's the supreme and that's who you're supposed to meditate on. But it doesn't mean that the idea is devotion. Right? It means it can become shanta rasa if one takes up devotional service. But you can, by the mechanical system, just meditate upon the Lord because he's the supreme, and so then you're going to meditate upon him to come to the transcendental position. Right? You know, it's just like you have to meet the particular person, you know, the person in charge, just to get him to sign the paper or to agree to something. But so that's just the way it is. You want to get to this topmost position, you have to deal with Vishnu. So they're dealing with Vishnu. Now when they take up bhakti, that's another thing. So then, yes, it could be in Shanta, where they take up bhakti, and now that's an appreciation of the Lord. But at the same time, it's still, because it doesn't have that dynamic aspect, it's not going to be attractive to Srimati Radharani, you know, for her own endeavor. And so that's the point, is that these things are brought up. Krishna brings these things up. And, you know, the Jnana Shakti is an expansion of her. Mm-hmm. So these things aren't going to be attractive. These aren't the attractive features that are used. It means all these energies are there. They're used in the service of the Lord. But for them in this capacity, it's not the thing that's going to create the deepening of the taste. Mm-hmm. Right? The deepening of the taste is going to be there from their personal interaction, an interaction with their associates based on affection, right? So it's not that within the pastime they're using some knowledge aspect to, you know, just play jokes and other things like that. You know, we're not talking about that way of using the knowledge. We're talking about the knowledge itself is going to produce a particular good result. But the point is, knowledge can only produce the spiritual platform. I mean, help you in establishing the spiritual platform. Right? But it's from the spiritual platform, then you want to act in the transcendental or the devotional. Does that make sense? Yeah, because the spiritual just means the platform on which you're functioning. Yes, everything is spiritual. Everything is Brahman. But the point is what you will do in that, how you will act within that. That's what's important.
Can you say that the knowledge is like a situation?
Like
knowledge is like a situation.
Yes, yes, because it is. You know about it, and you can use it for then, you know, manipulating the various energies. But unless it's being used in a dynamic way to please Krishna,
yes,
then it doesn't actually take on the transcendental quality.
Yes.
Right, but it means it's one of Krishna's energies, so they're serving Krishna. But the point is it's from our perspective, then we may think it's special. But we see from Radharani's, it's not that special. But you see, as they come and they know all this knowledge, because it's, you know, they know, they can explain Krishna. But the point is that's not where the taste lies, and so it's also a pastime of them that they're interacting like this. You know, so the aspect of the separation, that's the main feature that's going on. But the point is, as we discussed previously, that about the aspect of separation, it's the highest in that it's the most intense. But it's just its basis is sambhog, because if there's no sambhog, what is the point? It's about being with Krishna. That's the desire. So that intensity to be with him, that's what then creates that, it has that, you know, higher position. But it's not that they're just going to stay in that, because then the point is that goes into sambhog. And then because sambhog, now the separation will be greater. Because of the separation greater, the sambhog will be greater. So in Vipralamba, you're with Krishna, right? But it has the feeling of not being with Krishna. Because remembering Krishna is non-different from Krishna's name is non-different. Like that. So you're with Krishna. But at the same time, as it gives the feeling that you're not physically with him. And then being physically with him, then that gives a different flavor. Does that make sense? So the point is the sambo, how the Vipralamba is special, is that it enhances the sambhog. Because for others, the intensity, that kind of intensity, it appears to be more negative, or, you know, it has the, you know, the sadder overtones. And so we see as the other sampradayas in that aren't very keen on it, like that. And even if it's there as kind of, they may feel it, but you don't feel it. You know, just like, let us say, premas are over.
Yes.
Right? Radha and Krishna feel the separation, but the gopis don't. They're there watching them there, but they think because, you know, because, yeah, he said Madhu is gone.
Yes.
Means there was the bee, and it was bothering her, so then he chased it away, and he said Madhu is gone, so she thinks Krishna's left.
Yes.
And then she goes into separation, and then Krishna goes into separation, and then you have the Prema Sarovar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but everybody else there is seeing, so they're not, so that's how they'll look at it. But the point is for the Gaudiyas then to be absorbed in that and be assisting Radharani in these elements of separation. And then that's the service, that's the aspect. Was that, you know, so it's a particular feature that you're comfortable with that. Therefore, that's why pure unalloyed devotion. All the other presentations are pure devotion. But this will be pure unalloyed because it doesn't matter. So that therefore that aslishava padata tampinashtamam. That will be a prayer with the Gaudiyas. So she's pointing out as you're saying all these things that, yes, by the gyan, by the meditation, by these things you can be absorbed. But they're already always absorbed in Krishna. And so these technical things won't help. Because her point is when we'll be together again, you know, on the bank of the Jamuna and playing in the forest of Vrindavan, then that's when it will be nice.
Yeah.
213.140. So that's why we're not so enamored by these things. You know, by the technical the technical knowledge means we know the technical knowledge, we use the technical knowledge, but for us it's not about the technical knowledge. But that the technical knowledge is technical. So some get attracted by that. Some get attracted by the yoga thing. Some get attracted by speculating. Oh, but it's here, but then what about this? And then some say that, and you know, what about, you know, like this on this separation? Some say this, but others say that. And they like to have those discussions. But here it's that Radharani's point is these things are not of interest. You're absorbed in Krishna. Why would these things be of interest? Right? They're things in the material world. They inspire people in the material world. They don't inspire those from the spiritual world. Right?
Yeah.
So we have to be careful we don't get distracted by these. Otherwise, in our steps, like it's just like you're taking someone who's on the platform of, you know, immoral, atheism. They're on ground, you know. Ground zero, right? You know, like this. Yeah. So then the point is then going up into pranamoy, you know, going up into atheistic moralism is a step up. You know? And then from there, the step up is theistic moralism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have, you know, your theistic moralism when it's more about God. Otherwise, the other is just, he's part of your scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, he's part of moralism, but it doesn't really, you know, so as much as he's a value to assist your moralistic pursuit, then that's the value, right? Then you come to that spiritual platform of understanding about the soul and the focus on that aspect and appreciating the soul. But then Anandamaya, that's then where Krishna that's spontaneous devotional service. Right, so the sadhaka will be on the platform of the spiritual, and then from there trying to get to the spontaneous. And so each one as you go up means you're on the lower step, you try for that higher, and you put one foot there. But then when that's solid, you have to be not be attached and be comfortable to pick up that foot.
Yes.
Right? So then these lower stages, yes, okay, yeah, no problem. But then when we get to, you know, the anamoy, everybody's going to say that has to be given up. You know? But, you know, at least obviously, officially, right? But then pranamoy, then there's those moralism that's there, but you have to give that up for theistic moralism. It means moralism is given by God, not that mankind is made up. And so sometimes we get stuck there.
Yes.
And even we give that up, then we're attached to getting the results of that. You have to become detached from that. You're performing your activities without attachment. Then you can move up to there. Then you have to give up being detached. And that is about pleasing Krishna. Right? Because you can get be attached to your detachment. Yeah, because that's mode of goodness. It's that you don't want any trouble. You want it nice and clean and simple. But the point is that it's about pleasing Krishna. So you have to be willing to take those steps, because we may identify, oh, I'm a scholar, or I'm this, and I'm a yogi, and I'm, you know, all these things. And but no, it has to be, no, that all just has to go. It all has to go.
And then Prabhupada mentioned the Archa avatar.
Yes.
And the service is accepted if the deity is installed according to Pancharatrika system. Now, this is going to help the devotee to advance through the sadhana process, but I don't think there's anything mentioned when you give up Archa Vigraha.
You don't have to.
To go higher.
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Because it's directly Krishna. That's the point, it's directly Krishna. He is the Anandamaya Purusha. So we're talking about you have to give up these lower levels of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. You know, because we say, yes, yes, of course, only bhakti. And then we talk about modern moralism or modern scholarship or, you know, modern corporate this, that, or, you know, this, all these things, being practical, Prabhu, or not fanatic, and that. But you have to give all that up. Attachment for those things. You know, I'm the practical guy. No, we're the spirit soul. Your conditioned nature may be the practical guy, but you're not that practical guy. You can engage being practical in Krishna's service, but when you identify, I'm the practical guy, then it's a problem. You know, being practical is useful in Krishna's service. But thinking I'm the practical guy and being proud of that or being attached to that, that's not useful. Yes.
The confusion for many people is because the smartest, they also worship the deity and all, but for them, like Ishvara is the personality, personification of mode of goodness.
Yes.
Rather than transcendence.
Yes.
So then, like, for them, like, deity worship is...
Yeah, for them is there, but it just has to learn from the pure Vaishnavas, and then they can worship properly. Because they know all the rituals, they know all this. So, in one sense, for someone who's following already the Vedic culture, it's very easy for them to take up devotional service, because the lifestyle in that's not a problem. Because much of the time, once we're in a background where it's not about that, it's following the Vedic lifestyle that where the difficulty is. Yes. You know, like getting up early in the morning. Like you see, it's just the locals. They're always up.
Yes.
You know? I mean, in the summertime, you know, if they could get away with being here and starting work at 4:30, like when we're supposed to be at Mangal Arctic, they'll be here at work.
Yes.
But, you know, like that, because their point is start early. So, you know, so they're already, they just get up in the Brahma Muhurta, just automatically. It's just they're used to that. So it's just, that's the thing. They eat at regulated times, they eat in a regulated way. You know, and so then all these things, you know, it's easy for them. But at the same time, as they have to be careful not to get distracted by the mode of goodness. You know, so it's just like that point where it was that, you know, that anxiety about Bhakti Churmaraj. You know, if he takes sannyas after only being in the movement 9 months, what if he falls down? And Prabhupada said, yes, he'll fall down to goodness. You know, so it's like... You know, in other words, you don't have to worry about it. The position he falls down to is way above your natural position. So, you know, don't worry about it. So, so we'll point out, oh no, see, it's wrong, it's bad, it's this and that. Throw the whole thing out, and then we'll be attached to passion and ignorance. It didn't move.
You're just monitoring the salt.
Oh, I see. I thought you were checking your reflexes. That's another way of assault. You hit that. So it's they're very fine points. To, you know, one appreciates, but the point is, yes, today it's valuable for you, but tomorrow it may not be. Right. So in other words, I want something material. I'm turning to Krishna for it. That's better than I want something. I go out and get it myself, and I don't need Krishna. So it's better. You're turning to Krishna. But then at some point it comes to, no, I have the, my duties are to do this. Rather than I want this, that's what, no, but you're, it means, let's say you're a family person. It's your duty to take care. This is your nature. This is the work you do. So it's your duty to do that, to take care. So you have to be able to move on, that it's not because I want it, it's because this is just how Krishna made it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, no, we're not fanatic, you know, you got to be practical in that, but varnashram means you're supposed to have an occupation. So, yeah, you work for some, you're supposed to do that. No, you know, I can't be, then now it looks bad, you know, but it's, no, I'm free, I don't do all that, I do what I want, like that. You're supposed to do that. That's it. You know, he's saying, well, we got to be practical, we got to have jobs, and it says, where do you think the concept of job comes from? Krishna's got a job. He takes the cows out every day. You know? Like that. Then it's like, uh-oh, now I'm controlled again, you know? I just lost my freedom there, you know? So how to do this around, you know? And so that's the difficulty, is that then we can't move on because we're attached to a particular level. And now you can move on and now do it out of duties. But then it comes down to, I want to please Krishna. And so then one of the ways is performance of my duties and all that, with the idea that the results will all be for Krishna. So I'll be Krishna conscious, family be Krishna conscious, you know, we support other Krishna conscious things. And so in this way, so these are the steps. You know, and by that time then it's generally been a few years. Then one can move on to vanaprastha, you know, like this. And so it just keeps on going, you know, until we get to the spontaneous platform.
More or less, we need a constant guidance.
From one step to one step. Yes. That's why we always are hearing and chanting. Mm-hmm. We don't not do that. Mm-hmm. So it's something we always do. So it's not that, oh yeah, I've heard that, you know. It's like, you know, the typical thing, you know, at least conversation, I don't know about nowadays, but before you'd have on the train, you know, the Hindu gentleman, why do you argue this? Yes, you know, when I was 12, I read Bhagavad Gita, yes, you know, it's like, I am knowing these things. Like that. You know? Yes. So, but the thing is, it's a dynamic thing you're always doing. You know, it's okay, you read Bhagavad Gita with your 12, and now you're, you know, in your 50s. You know, but, you know, why didn't you just make that one deal you made when you were 12 and made some money? Why aren't you sitting back on your laurels and enjoying that now? You know, why did you keep making money? Why didn't you keep reading Bhagavad Gita? You know, you ate lunch yesterday. Why are you eating today? You know, it's done, you know. Yeah, check that one off your list.
Because I have children and grandchildren.
Oh, so you're waiting till they're 12 so they can read Bhagavad Gita. Okay.
When they are getting married, I will be very serious.
Serious. After they get married. Yes. But then there's but then the grandchildren, and then the this and that. And yes.
My grandmom, when she was about to, like in the last days, I have only one desire. The grandchild's child should get, I want to see him get married here.
The grandchild's child. And how old is the grandchild?
My cousin is like...
At that time?
At that time is 35, 40 something. The grandchild.
He was the grandchild. He was 35.
Yeah,
and she wanted to see his child get married.
Yeah,
how old was his child?
20.
And how long until the marriage? Another five, six, yeah, there's no end. What to do? Yes. So these things have no interest. They may be used and all that, like devotees, some they preach at yoga studios, they show some asanas, they do some discussions and all that. But you can't be attached and identify as a yogi.
Yes.
You're a devotee, you do these things. But a lot of times these guys, they always walk around looking like yogis. Why can't they look like devotees? Yeah. Oh, it's preaching. It's kind of like, and how is that? Go ahead, explain it to me, knock me out. Explain how you walking around looking the way you do is preaching.
Preaching yoga.
when you're talking about Krishna and showing, that's okay, but why do you have to look like this all the time? You know, attach the idea, you know, the yogi has the beard, the hair, you know, all the things like that. They don't get into the beads so much, you know, these days. Yeah, before beads were like, you know, that was the thing.
Beads is religious. As soon as you have beads, you're religious.
Okay. Even though in India, the Indian yogis may wear them, but we as devotees wouldn't, because then they might think, oh, you chant Hare Krishna, as if they know.
No, they can wear them, but they never use them.
Oh, I see.
New age gurus, they don't do that.
No beads.
Nothing religious. In fact, if the topic comes, they say, we are beyond it.
Beyond, yes. Okay. I get it. Oh well. You know, like that mental speculation, we get into that. And so they like to speculate on things in a very broad, you know, from a very broad perspective, you know, that takes up much space and stuff like that. So it's just anything you can challenge. Okay, people say this, but you know, what about this thing I've heard? And what about that thing? People, so many things I've heard. That's why the acharyas are also talking about what has been heard. That's why Krishna says, when you give up the need to, you know, what you have heard and what you will hear, and just stick to as it is, then like that. You know, because for them, the mental speculation, that's boring. You know, what do they think about? You know, because it's the issues and how it's this and that. And yeah. So, Radharani's pointed out, she's not interested. You know. 2:13:140. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way, you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam anakulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. For a pure devotee, there is no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice or the cultivation of speculative philosophy. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even if a pure devotee wanted to, his mind would not allow him to do so. That is a characteristic of a pure devotee. He is transcendental to all fruitive activity. Yeah, I mean, you see here, they use that dash. If you're making a final thing, then you can put it on its own. But if it's something in between that you just want to explain, but it doesn't fit, then you put them on both sides. Does that make sense? Yeah. He is transcendental to all fruitive activities, speculative philosophy, and mystic yoga meditation. The gopis therefore express themselves as follows. 2:13:141. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yoga practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. Right? So, let's see, what is it? Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has stated in Chaitanya Chandamrita 5. Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapur akasha pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpa patali prokata damstrayate vishvam purna sukayate vidhi mehendradischa kitayate Yat karuna kata karaksha vibhava vamtam gauram eva stuma. For a pure devotee who has realized Krishna consciousness through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the monistic philosophy by which one becomes one with the Supreme appears hellish. The mystic yoga practice by which the mind is controlled and the senses are subjugated also appear ludicrous to a devotee. The devotee's mind and senses are already engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, the poisonous effects of sensory activities are removed. If one's mind is always engaged... Okay. So, it's ludicrous because here, they're already absorbed in Krishna. So the mind and senses are already engaged in His service. Right? So the meditation just means that you're remembering the Lord. The form of the Lord, in a, you know, that static aspect. So that's not going to, because we may say, oh no, but you know, meditation, remembering is one of the nine processes. But he is suggesting the meditation, you sit down and you meditate. But that means it's a static, the whole process is static. So it's not dynamic, it doesn't have that active devotion, doesn't have that prema aspect to it. And so for them, they won't be able to do that. This has no interest to them. They're already remembering Krishna and the various pastimes that they had and what services they did and who said what and who did what. That's what they're remembering. That's not what the yogis are doing. So they're already beyond this. They're already, senses are fully engaged. They just know Krishna. That means the perfection of all knowledge. So the perfection of the activities are all engaged. The perfection of karma. So whatever is the perfection of each of these three fields, they already have that and beyond. In bhakti. So that's why it'll be ludicrous. Yes.
When Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if a devotee is attached to the concept that is advanced devotee, then also he's stuck up. Is this the aspect like when like a yogi thinks that static aspect is the main thing and if somebody...
No, it's not so much that he thinks the main thing. If he's a devotee, and in Shanta Ras, it's just that's the taste. It's just the amazing wonderfulness of the Lord. Like we see Narad Muni, just the amazingness that He is the Supreme, has come, married 16,108 wives in 16,108 separate palaces, where He's doing 16,108 separate things. You know, each according to the nature of the particular queen. You know, and then the family and the whole thing like that. That's amazing to Him. You know, and so just how He is, how He does these wonderful things, expresses His energy. You know, I mean, it has pastimes with His various unlimited energies and takes care of the devotees and kills the demons and all these things. It's just so amazing that they're just absorbed in that amazingness of the Lord. And so they're completely satisfied there. So there isn't any that is their service. But it's static in that they're just meditating on things that He's doing with others. And which is fine. That's why it's one of the five rasas. It's a taste. It has a rati. Like that. But at the same time then for the gopis who are in dynamic rasas, then this isn't the level. Right, let alone the mystic yoga system where you're just sitting there and just meditating on Paramatma as the controller of the three worlds. You know, that's not going to, you know, they're already absorbed in Bhagavan, and of Bhagavan then Krishna, and of Krishna in, you know, the conjugal rasa. So that intensity you're not going to find anywhere else. So how would you... You know, it'd be like saying, you know, the person, oh, you know, I miss my, you know, fast car and, you know, the things like that. And, you know, it's because it's being, you know, however it is, repaired or this or that and, you know, like that. So he said, oh, if you want, hey, you can drive my kid's tricycle if you want, you know, around the sidewalk here. Is that going to be of interest? No. So the whole point is these things, anything lower than their position isn't going to be interesting. They're already absorbed in the highest. And that's the whole point. By these pastimes, their position comes out. And what they say, then that's very pleasing to Krishna. And they being talking all these things, they're becoming more and more absorbed in Krishna and more ecstatic emotions. But it's just coming through these particular flavors, you know, of sorrow and, you know, all these different aspects.
It seems that if there are meditation using the mind to meditate on, for example, the Lord like the yogi, and meditation on the like a feeling like love, like the gopi, the love Krishna.
That's there, but just that they have that love, but then it's about the activities and about the experience. So just having the love, that's the stai bhav.
Yes.
So that's the sambandha aspect.
Yes.
Then you're going to apply that.
Yes.
And then there's going to be the taste. So we see Radharani, even Lord Chaitanya comes to taste all three features of Radharani's love.
Yes.
So it's not just that she has love.
Yes.
It's the dynamic application of that love in service.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah. The devotee's mind and senses are already engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, the poisonous effects of sensory activities are removed. One's mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord. There's no possibility that one will think, feel, or act materially. Similarly, the fruit of workers' attempt to attain to the heavenly planets is nothing more than a phantasmagoria for the devotee. After all, the heavenly planets are material, and in due course of time, they will be dissolved. Like, so it means it's nice facilities and all that, but unless you can serve, what's the point? Right? You know, it's just like saying, let's say, you know, like you're saying, you were mentioning about, you know, in France, they're living in some little apartment and then some arrangements there, now they have a chateau. Mm-hmm. So then the point is that being in that, do the same services, just you have more space, more devotees can stay, more people can come over for programs. Mm-hmm. You know? You know, you have a lawn outside where you can have programs and like that. So unless you can do service, what's the point? So for the devotee, it's just phantasmagoria that, oh, no, it's so wonderful. But again, it's just a material thing. You've attained a nice situation, but that doesn't produce ananda in the living entity. That's just, he's conscious of the situation. You know? And then you try to do something in the situation, but it doesn't give you happiness.
We've been telling people many times, they used to criticize, you know, you guys are multi-millionaires, you live in a chateau. So come and live with us. There's 50 of us in one room, sleep on the floor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was also similar, the thing I think was in Australia. Bhavananda Maharaj, then some reporter or something, you know, that's all the fanciness, you know, that was there. And then he pointed out, okay, just think about this. You have this situation. You know, you're saying it's so nice. You know, nice car, nice this, people there, so much nice things. But in that situation, there's no scope for being engaged in, you know, how you say, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, or gambling. So now are you cool with, you know, now it's like, oh, that's too much? And they sat and thought, and then they, no. You know, we wouldn't know what to do. You know, so it's kind of like, yeah. It's just that it's a situation, because there's so much in this situation, they can't tolerate this. Others have a situation you have.
Yes. Without doing as much work as they do.
Yeah. Yeah, without doing as much. But the thing is for us, it's just the situation we're in. For them, it's a goal. For us, it's just the platform. Yes. Our goal is pleasing Krishna.
Yes.
So because your goal is higher, naturally your platform's higher. But at the same time, because that goal there, you can apply that anywhere. So even if we had nothing, then they come, oh, you guys have nothing. Why should we follow you? You guys have nothing. Oh, you have so much. Why, you know, well, why are you doing like that? You know, aren't you supposed to be religious? Why aren't you supposed to have nothing? Because when we had nothing, you said, you know, this is stupid. And now we have this, and that's so, you know, what is it? You know, and if you're right in the middle, that we're also right in the middle, so what's the specialty? You know, so that's it, is that they'll always find fault. You can't please them. That's why it's foolish to try. Like that. You explain nicely and this and that. Those who will be satisfied will be. And those that can't, there should be no extra endeavor for them. In fact, that's one of the principles of the Madhyama, is those individuals he's pleasant with, but he avoids them. Because you can't satisfy. Like that. Because they're frustrated. They want to enjoy and they can't. And they can't tolerate anybody else has anything, you know, on any platform. Like that. And so, you know, they say, oh, well, you have all that. That could be shared with so many people. It says, well, how many people are living in your place? Like that. We've got 50 in one room. How many in your house? You know? Like that. Yeah, they couldn't believe it when they come to the temple. You know, it's a house, two-story house like everywhere else. You know, how many people stay here? And you say, yeah, I think at that time it was like 30 or 35 or 40. It's kind of like, huh?
It's 20 to that.
we used to have in the basement. They used to have a basement, and there's a hose. That's it, you know. The brahmacharis line up, and the temple commander just hoses them off, and he puts some soap and all that, and then he hoses everyone off again, and then they're out, and next batch comes in. Like that, you know. Yeah. Similarly, the fruit of workers' to attain the heavenly planets is nothing more than a phantasmagoria for the devotee. After all, the heavenly planets are material, and in due course of time, they will all be dissolved. Devotees do not care for such temporary things. They engage in transcendental devotional activities because they desire elevation to the spiritual world, where they can live eternally and peacefully with full knowledge of Krishna. In Vrindavan, the gopis, cowherd boys, and even the calves, cows, trees, and water are fully conscious of Krishna. They are never satisfied with anything but Krishna. So even there, their absorption in Krishna is in his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, not just meditating on Paramatma. So even the cows, the calves, the water, the trees, they wouldn't be satisfied with what Krishna is talking about. Like that, you know, so... 2.13.142-147. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, continued. The gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the Timangila fish of their ambition to serve you. Right? So in separation, they want to serve. They want to be with Krishna to serve. Because the whole point is separation is that longing to be with and serve Krishna.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So that's the thing. And so then when there's sambhog, now you can serve.
Yes.
But remembering it all is service. But it just increases that.
Yes.
And it goes both ways. Because it's so nice. Whatever's happened. There is no past, present, and future. So therefore anything that's happened in the past is also present. Because Krishna is eternal. And thinking how we'll meet Krishna and all that, and do this activity or that, then they're thinking actually of the present. But it has the feeling of future, and it has the feeling of past. It has the feeling of that you're not with Krishna. Does that make sense? Because there's a difference between... Krishna is everything, but then there's as Bhagavan, the person, the Sarup. There's a difference in flavor. Because one is the original person, the other is his energies. So they're non-different, there's still a difference. There's still the flavor is different.
Can we say that at that table the gopis, they are quite more above the mental platform? It is
mental platform, meaning that they get mental?
Usually mental means we accept and we reject, you know?
No, but they accept and reject everything based on Krishna. What will be useful for Krishna? Then that's nice. This is a nice place. This, you'd have a nice pastime here. This is, you know, some nice thing, nice conversation, or nice, you know, whatever it is. So the mind, the devotee, still their mind is there, but it's always absorbed in Krishna. So it's always proper. It's always perfect.
Yes, yes.
Right? Well, here the mind may think of Krishna, may think of something else.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Something else. Yes. Yeah. So then, that's the.
Remembering is being in the moment.
Yes. You're in the present. Serving's in the present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, desiring to serve is in the present. So when you're absorbed in Krishna, you're in the present. So that's why in the spiritual world, in the prayers, Brahma Samhita, there's no past or future, there's only the present. Because if you think about how, you know, this happened with Krishna last night, you know, in the morning, then it's in the present. And you're thinking how we'll meet him at noontime, it's in the present. But there's a feeling. So that's the point. Time serves the devotees there, serves rasa there. While here it just marches on and drags us along with it. You know, it's kind of like, you know. Does that make sense? You know? You know, it's kind of like there's something there and you get caught, and you know, and the, you know, like your sleeve or something gets caught and you're just dragged along, you know. That's us.
You are attached to the material elements, and then time is moving the material elements.
Yeah, the elements are moving. Yeah, that's true. Because the body's moving, everything's moving.
Sometimes you think, if I was acting directly in the past, the result can be different.
Yes, if you acted, but the point is you can't do anything about the past now.
Yeah.
You can only deal with the present that you have now. Because in the past, you dealt with the present in the present. Therefore, you get a good result. Or you dealt with the present not properly or not focused. So then you're thinking, oh, if I'd done that, but why don't do that now? If it's so good, do it right now. You know, it could have been this, could have been that, but it's not. Is it could have, would have, should have? You know? But you can't do anything about it. So it just brings up the mode of ignorance. It brings up lamentation and all that. So here, the spiritual thing, you get the element of lamentation, but it's happening in rasa, in the present.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't have any of the anomalies that the material does. That's why we think, oh, but they're lamenting, it's bad. But no, it doesn't have any of the anomalies of past. It's in the present. It's dynamic. It's with Krishna. Because Krishna, then, you think of him, then even you're using the mind, then he's present there. Point is he, being the Purusha, being the origin of everything, all his energies are everywhere. So then, wherever he likes, he can personally manifest. It's all him. Him and his energy are non-different, so if he wants, he can manifest. Just like he manifests in the pillar. Like that, you know, the Hiranyakashipu is doing his, he being a little trippy.
Having his tantrum.
Yeah, having his tantrum and, you know, his false ego and all that, and trying to point out that his son, you know, doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, yeah, he's in the pillar because he sees him through his energies there. But because of that, to teach, you know, his father a bit of a lesson, then he personally appeared there. Because it's not different from him, it's all him, so it doesn't matter where. So that's why Prabhupada's saying in the deity, then even manifesting through material energy, it's all his energy, and for him it's just as, there's no material and spiritual for him. There's the conscious and unconscious, but then he enters, it's all him. So if he as the Shaktiman can appear there. It's his energy. It does what he wants. Therefore, the deity is Krishna. So you install the deity, then that means he'll always be there. Otherwise, if there's a form of Krishna, the form is non-different. Then when you worship, he'll be there. When you're not worshiping, he's not there. So then installation means then he will permanently stay there and you will permanently worship. That's our side of the bargain. Like that. You know, so that's why I even had the things. What was it? Was it Saraswati or that? She had a string tied around Jagannath. You know, just the little deity of Jagannath had a string tied around. She was dragging Jagannath on the floor around. It was Rath Yatra. So in her mind, there's the whole cart, there's everything like that. The other devotees are freaking out. Prabhupada said, no, for her, it's like this. You know, but still, you know, get her a cart. Make something, because, you know, she won't mind pulling a cart. She just doesn't have one, you know. So the thing is all these things are there and they're real, but it's only as Krishna pleases. It's not that we decide, oh, it could be like this, it could. So that's the thing. When we apply mental speculation to these eternal principles, then we end up with bogus stuff. That's how we get this weird, because of mental speculation or, you know, or karma or some other things that are mixed in there. It's that, oh, see, it doesn't matter, and, you know, we can do anything, and Krishna accepts it, and he loves the heart of the devotee, he's there, like that. Of course he knows, but then what are you doing about it? Okay, he has to do his thing as God, and he knows what you are and all that. What are you doing as servant? You know, so that doesn't come up. You know, I don't have to show, he knows I have devotion. He says, okay, great, you know. I mean, if this information gets out, you know, I can guarantee you 99.99% of all the husbands on the planet would be very happy with this understanding. Is that, you know, of course the wife knows, you know, so of course I love her. You know, you don't have to show it. They know you love her, right? That'd be an ecstasy. But as the gopis said, they're just becoming angry. More and more angry, right? Because it's contrary. On the contrary, they become more and more angry. What? Because they're being neglected. Because he's not dealing with them on their platform. He's ignoring that, dealing with them as if they're yogis or this or that. They get angry. You know, it's just like you see when they first come to the rasa dance, and Krishna, oh, you've come out for, you know, to see, yeah, the moon's full, it's a nice night and all that, so you've come out and all that, but, you know, it must be getting late, your family must be missing you and that, so, you know, you better, you know, go back and all that, and, you know, now that you've seen how pleasant it is, now you can go back. And it's kind of like they become upset. You know, the point is, we've given up everything, we've come here for you, and this is what you have to say. So for Krishna, it's fun. You know, but then their reaction, they get angry.
We saw in the Natya Shastra, the wife is neglected, woman is neglected, she should become angry.
Yeah, yeah.
And if the husband is poked, then he should smile. Like a flower is thrown at him or on.
Yeah, yeah.
Opposite. It's not the same.
Sometimes it happens to be, I mean, the cliche is plates. You know, when you said something and you're standing there and the plate goes whistling past and smashes on the wall, then it's, something's wrong.
Maybe the flower didn't work and the plate came.
Well, probably they tried the flower, but you didn't care. Right. But when you throw the plate, then it's, oh, okay. The gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the timangila fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timangila fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? You know, so they're being delivered means delivered into the service, that their aspiration of service for Krishna. That's what it is. It's not being freed from, you know, they're not worried about any difficulty, material difficulty, because they have no material conception of life. It's all about Krishna. The gopis do not want that liberation desired by yogis and jnanis, for they're already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? So another aspect here is that, you know, it says they're not great scholars or this or that, because they know Krishna, the principle of what's there, the topmost pinnacle of the purpose of all the everything is knowing Krishna, and they're absorbed in Krishna. So they know everything. So they're not scholars, because they're not interested in these details that are farther down, that explain how he's the Supreme. They already know he's like that. So they don't need to know all these details. Not for their service, they don't. Right? Yeah. So, yeah. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? Like, you know, okay, you forgot us, but how do you forget all them? You know, because then you point that out, because that's a bad thing. You have to see that as a bad thing. How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Jamuna, and the forest where you enjoyed the Rasa Leela dance? Right? They start at the one, and then they'll bring it back around.
Yeah.
Right? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well-behaved, soft-hearted, and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Right? There's no fault to be, but how is it that this is there? This is only my misfortune and nothing else. I do not care for my personal unhappiness. But when I see the morose face of Mother Jashoda and the hearts of the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all. Or do you want to enliven them by coming there? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering, right, hoping that he'll come? Right? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, though they want you to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence they are all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan.
This is the gopi speaking to Krishna Kuruchetra,
right? Must be. It's Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani. She's continuing that same conversation before. You know, that you're the same boy, I'm the same girl, and we have met again, and like this. So it's just further, you know, discussions in that way. Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani did not express her personal unhappiness of being separated from Krishna. She wanted to evoke Krishna's feelings for the condition of all the others in Vrindavan Dham, Mother Jashoda, Mother Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the birds, and the bees on the banks of the Jamuna, the water of the Jamuna, the trees, the forests, and all other paraphernalia associated with Krishna before he left Vrindavan for Mathura. These feelings of Srimati Radharani were manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he invited Lord Jagannath, Krishna, to return to Vrindavan. That is the purport of the Ratha Yatra cars going from Jagannath Puri to Gundicha Temple. So that's the whole thing. They're taking him back to Vrindavan. So in that way, then, yeah, he's going to Vrindavan. So that's why we talk about this Roth. But you see, the return Roth, it just mentions that there was one. It doesn't get into a lot of detail about the return.
So, have you ever been to Puri for what they have
done? Going down Central Avenue in Calcutta is what you're talking about, then yes.
No, I'm talking about, I wonder what happens when they return the cops. Probably like not the same crowd.
There is
just like a few people pulling the cards. Or it's a big thing.
There is it's compared to anything else, it's bigger. But everybody gets a chance to pull like that, because all the devotees in Calcutta temple, we have Rath Yatra here. Mm-hmm. On the Ultarath we go there, because our Ultarath finishes in 2 hours. There it will take more than a day. So the same night if you go, you can be on the card. It will take more than a day for the people to come back.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's fine.
Everybody goes on the same night, they come there.
Yeah.
Lord is inside and we don't care. Like, we all go to the Jagannath.
Yeah. But I'm saying, just traditionally, for us, it's not the big, the big festival, the coming back. You know, it's the same. The Moshal Lila, yeah. These things, they're not the prominent. They're there. We know what the facts are, but it's just like, they're not a point of discussion. You know?
So the carts sit outside the Gundicha temple for a week.
Must. I don't think they can fold it up and pack it away somewhere. Yeah, and then it goes back, and then after that, I think they just take it apart. Because next year, they'll build a new one.
Yeah.
They don't keep them.
Yeah. Wow. That wood is used for the fire, I think. Cooking.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
That's what I heard. I once. They break it and use it for cooking.
Oh, okay.
Everything is perfect.
Recycled. To 149. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. My dear Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. Srila Prabhupada, it is said, Vrindavanam parityajya param eka nagacchati. In one sense, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Ishwara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha, does not even take one step away from Vrindavan. However, in order to take care of various duties, Krishna had to leave Vrindavan, right? So he says in one sense he's never leaving, but in another he has to go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So both things are happening. He doesn't leave, but he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and then he was taken by his father to Dwarka, where he was busy with state affairs and disturbances created by demons. Krishna was away from Vrindavan, and he was not at all happy, as he plainly disclosed to Srimati Radharani. She is the dearmost life and soul of Sri Krishna, and he expressed his mind to her as follows. 213.150. Because if he doesn't go, how do you get this? You know, and if Lord Chaitanya left Mayapur, which is Vrindavan, to go to Puri, which is Kurukshetra, to taste this taste because of the intensity is greater, then to say he doesn't leave, then that doesn't make any sense. Because then otherwise, then if he never left, then why would he feel bad in Dwarka? Because it's not him. You know? Yes.
When Krishna steps out of Vrindavan, he is Swayam Bhagavan. Okay, it's the same Krishna.
It's the same Krishna. All that is you're changing a mood for the devotees that are there, because he promises to reciprocate with the devotees as they are surrendered to them, because they're dealing in Aishwarya, therefore that element comes in.
Yes.
Like you see, when he goes into Mathura that first time, he and Balaram have four arms. You know, but they're all seeing, because it's this far out thing of that sweetness, but there's that, because Mathura is then where Mahanarayan is. You know, I think, I forget what it was, there's a name for it, like the Shris, they have that ultimate Narayan. You have, you know, the Vaikuntha planets, and then that all goes back to the one Narayan that it's all from. So they know up to that point. They don't understand that above that's Braj. They think that Braj is just another manifestation like Ayodhya or, you know, some other thing like that for pastimes.
There's Vrindavan in the Vaikuntha, no?
Yes, means so lower Goloka, like that. So that's how they see it. Yes. They don't know they don't understand this principle of above. So that's where Vasudeva is. You know? So that aspect there, so them going with four arms is normal. like that. And you see there that they're all dealing in the prayers and all that. You know, the five rasas are there and everything like that. But it's still he's Mahanarayan. Because of that's how they're dealing with him. But as soon as Radharani's talking with him, then he's that same. Because the point is she says, "This you're the same boy, I'm the same girl." And then here he says, he doesn't take one step out. Because in this flavor, he doesn't take one step out. And how is it manifested? Because Radharani's there. So then he can express that. You can see it says this mood is invoked. But otherwise he does have that whenever he remembers. You know, that it's, how you say? You do have that aspect that at night, you know, it means Rukmini mentions about it, that at night he's talking about Radharani.
Yes.
He's not talking about her or any of the other queens. You know, so it kind of puts things in perspective for them.
Yes.
You know? That so they're just happy that he's willing to, you know, when he's away he's their husband.
Yes.
But, you know, they know ultimately he's from Vrindavan. So there's that element that he doesn't leave. In one sense, he doesn't leave, but in another sense, he does. Because if he didn't, how you would have this pastime? Right. Yeah, that's the whole point. So you can't emphasize too much one way or the other. They both are there, and so that's it's you know I say. You go with we go with what is because you have all these mechanical calculations that you can make of combinations, but we take the ones that the acharyas give. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like mechanically you can come up with, you know, 100 recipes. You know, let's say with a particular vegetable. You have two or three different ways you can cook it as a main thing. Then you know, styles of cooking. Then within that, then you have your techniques of spicing. And then within that, you have what spices you're using. And then which ones you emphasize in this. So let's say you can come up with 100 different recipes for the same cauliflower and potatoes.
Yes.
But of that, you'll find a few of them, two or three, are exceptional. Those ones will get names. Those will be the ones that are repeated. The other ones will just come up in your natural just rotating and making variety and cooking. All these others will come up. But on special occasions and things like that or when you want, then you're going to cook those two from amongst those two or three. Does that make sense? Like that. So the point is our acharyas give us though that's what we take. Because yes, by speculation you can come up with all these, but that's the taste is in here. What the acharyas give. And the point is as we said, Kavya, you know, by the poetry aspect, then madhurya means that which is you know very nice, sweet, and can be repeated constantly without getting tired of it. So therefore, it's unlimited. And these major ones, and so each also all of those 100 all have taste. But those, you know, very major ones, those are the ones that are brought out. Because, I mean, every day Krishna killed a demon in Vrindavan. Every day Kamsa sent a demon. Every day he killed one. But we only hear about, you know, 10 or 15 of them, because these are the major ones. You know, how many of these, you know, other regular old dudes can you, you know, you want to hear about?
This is how we came up with the easiness of cooking 108 every time. You have a batch of rice, with spinach, and with tomato. Then you got 10 rice, and you have some with pecora banana.
Yeah.
Same with halva. Oh, yeah. 108 done.
Yeah. But of all those rices, there's, you know, that then after the offering at that, when you're serving the Vaishnavs, then you watch which rice was the best, which the, and then when you sit down, you only eat those. Don't even bother with the others. I've always seen, out of 108, there'll be, you know, 4, 5, 6 that are good, that are exceptional. They're all nice, but there'll be that. Yeah, so we do the opposite. When we're doing a feast, we only do those five or six. You know, why waste space?
You can get buckets.
Yeah, yeah.
You can fill buckets.
You can fill buckets. Does that make sense? That therefore, then, yes, you could come up with all these, and what about this, and what about that, but don't bother. The acharyas have given this. Meditate on this. This itself is fully absorbing, right? There's unlimited things. How much can you stuff into 1/10,000th the tip of the hair? So why put extra stuff? You know, it's like I was saying, those South Indian Brahmins, that you know, when they were eating, they wouldn't drink water. You know, because water takes up space, you could put more food.
More rice.
Yeah, like that. So then, you know, why waste time? So the point is these are there. They're fully absorbed. And the point is you go there then, you know, there's unlimited pastimes.
There's this famous purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti. Nanda Maharaj is about to go back to Mathura. Krishna goes to see him. There's a discussion. It's an elaborate purport, but basically, Chakravarti Thakur says it's just all duplicated. Krishna went back to Vrindavan.
Yes.
And he stayed in Mathura at the same time.
Yeah.
Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they were feeling separation in Vrindavan.
Because the point is when you say it's duplicated, what does that mean? I mean, another aspect would be that duplicated. Now Krishna stays in Mathura.
Yes.
So that means there's going to be the point of him staying and Nanda Baba going back without him.
Yes.
That's the Prakat Leela.
That's the Prakat
Leela. Now, but Krishna also goes back with them. That's the Aprakat. So the Prakat and the Aprakat are going on at the same time. So that's what Prabhupada says. In one sense, he never leaves. But in another sense, he has. And so that's the point, is that it doesn't matter which way it's going, then they're able to relish all that.
I was joking in my mind some time ago, Nanda Baba meets Nanda Baba. He goes, not with you.
Yeah.
You don't seem very happy.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so that's the thing, is that Vishwanath's also mentioning in those purports with theirs that by yoga maya, they don't see each other.
They don't see each other.
They may be in the same room, but they don't bump into each other.
Right.
So like that. And then when it becomes aprakat, then the prakat's not there anymore. So then you only have one pastime going on. So that's the thing, is that you can... So, you know, because the prakat means... The prakat... Krishna's there and everything's fine, so it's only in the separation that there's going to be a problem. And you're going to see a great divergence in the pastimes.
So the conclusion of rasa, the conclusion of lila is to increase the rasa.
Yeah, that's all. It's all about rasa. It's all about taste. That's the whole point. But what are we arguing over? We're all arguing over the situation.
Yes.
Which is just sambandha jnana. And so that's why it says the speculation. You know, it's, oh, but if this doesn't there, it doesn't make sense. How can I, you know, how can I surrender to this? You know, the more I understand it, the more I surrender. But surrender to what? You know? So, yes, that's what we're talking about. It's absorbed in Krishna, so that's good. But at some point, one has to give that up and move to the next step. Which means it doesn't matter. The point is, you're absorbed in Krishna. What does it matter if he's in two places at once or not? You know. So that's the thing, is we get this thing. It has to. We're attached to the speculation of that. It has to be logical, and because it's logical, therefore it's right. Rather than, no, there's taste, therefore it's right. You know, it's just there's so many recipes that are not logical, but there's taste. Like Prabhupada, when he's on the boat, and it mentions, but you always see it when it's mentioned in the book, it goes, and then he cooked bhati khichdi, and then there's a question mark after the khichdi, because they can't tell what it is and don't know what that is or anything. Because it's not kichuri, it's chachuri, but they've never heard the word before. So the closest thing they know to chachuri is kichuri. And probably, you know, with Prabhupada's accent, then it sounds, they can't tell. So the point is, he's cooking that. And so here is a preparation. You take a pot, you put in whatever, your potatoes, you put in your potals, you know, like this. It can also be done with eggplant, or be done with, you know. So then you put that in the pot. Then you put chilies for about 10, that means whatever the volume, you put chilies for 10 times that much sabji.
What?
10
times
yeah.
Green chilies.
Generally dry red chilies. Green goes, what does green go well? Green you can use, but it gives a different flavor. It probably worked better with the cauliflower. Like that. Might work with the eggplant also. But 10 times for the volume, like that. Then 10 times the volume of turmeric. Uh-huh. And 10 times the volume of mustard oil. Pour that all in there. Don't mix it. Just pour it on top. Then pour in some water until it just touches the top. You know, nothing floats, but water doesn't go above. Just exactly. Put it on the fire, you know, until it starts boiling. Turn it down low and just leave it until it burns. I mean, like charcoal, you know, like at least 1 millimeter of pure burnt charcoal on the bottom. Smoke is coming out, not steam. Take it off the fire. Put the lid. Let it sit for 20 minutes. You know, while because that what burns is the turmeric, because you don't stir it, you never stir it. So all the turmeric settles to the bottom, and then when the water dries out, the turmeric burns.
Okay.
Then now you let it sit for 20 minutes, and then it gets soft from all the oil, right? Then you scrape it nicely, you know, carefully scrape it, and then mix it up, and then that's it.
That's Krishna?
Yeah, that's bhati chachuri. That's your high-end bhati chachuri.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're a cook and you go, what? And then? You don't stir it? And then when I said, and then you scrape the bottom and mix it, and it's kind of like you scrape the bottom. No, you take everything off and throw the bottom. No, you scrape the bottom. I noticed when we made that, I think it was in Belgium, we made that for Janmashtami night. So the pujari's coming, making the plates from everybody cooks. He comes to the bhati chacha and he's trying to find a piece that's not burnt. You know, like that, you know, like that. And I tell him, no, this is Prabhupada's recipe. It's the burnt part. Oh, okay.
No salt?
Oh, yeah, of course, salt. Salt is regular. You put the normal amount of salt.
Right.
Not 10. No. Salt's normal. Salt's normal. Water's normal. It's just your chili, your oil, and your turmeric. Yeah. Because chili and oil go together.
Yeah.
You know, you put one part chili, one part oil, then they match. You put two, three. Like, you put, it's not hot. You know, it'll have that chili flavor, but it's not like, you know, it's not hot. Because you have 10 times the, you know, people, oh, no, don't put so much. Then I think they did that once to Prabhupada. They, you know, Bhakti Charu was cooking it, and they came in, you can't put like that for Prabhupada. This, like the whole scene. They wouldn't let him put the full amount of oil. Then Prabhupada ate it. It's too hot. I can't eat this. You know, why you cook? I showed you how to cook, you know, and everybody else is going, oops. They just don't know cooking. That's the thing. People don't know cooking. They have a problem with chilies, right? You know, if it's two chilies neutralizes it, it won't be hot. You put three, it'll be hot. But if you put one, you eat it, it'll be heavy. So they're always going, oh, it's so rich, it's so heavy, because there's no chili.
Right.
So it's just, yeah. So the point is it doesn't necessarily make sense, but there's taste. So that's the point, is a rasa. It doesn't have to. It has its own science. On how the rasa moves, what goes with what words are spoken with what. You know, that's the whole thing. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is explaining that whole thing. And we see, you know, and he's calling on Bharat Muni as the authority. like that. But actually, Rupa Goswami is the authority, but you know, you always base it in the Vedic literature. And so then there, and then he takes it, you know, gives finer and finer points that Bharat Muni, where he does explain up to the point, it's quoted like it is. Where it's not, then they continue. And so then how, what motion will there, what will move into what, that's, it has its own logic. So it doesn't work by our mundane logic. So to say, oh, this is not there, and this doesn't work, and how can that be, and how could the gopis be this, or how can that... It's like, then, why are you reading this, then? Go read Bhaktivedanta Institute book or something like that, you know? You know, how many cups are there? You know, how many lotas are there? There's millions of lotas, because everybody here sees it in a different way, so there's millions of lotas. Read that. You know, so the whole point is, it's taste. You don't like taste, then hey. No one's criticizing, just...
And taste comes after ruchi. So we have to aspire to ruchi to...
Because ruchi and asakti, because we explained before, is that the three aspects of bhava, smarana dasa, varna dasa, and did they say shravana?
No.
Shravana. Shravana, varna, and smarana dasa, they extend all the way down to... Shraddha. But now, there's just a portion is there. It's just a little bit. But that's the point, is because you're dealing with reality. Like you have, this whole room is completely dark. One little candle lights it. So that's the point, is that little bit of taste in Krishna consciousness, that's so much greater than anything on the material platform. So just that little bit of touch of bhava is more than anything you can get in the material world. It's more than the heavenly planets, it's more than liberation and all that. So it's naturally going to be attracted, because that's what the soul actually can identify with. You know, but they're thinking, I'll find that in material, but you can't. And so, but when it comes to the point of ruchi and asakti, then it's in its natural form. It's not it's not just a portion of it. It's just a reduced volume. You know, like a mini, you know, or something like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, it'd be like you have a croissant, but instead of it being the regular size, you know, it's only this big. But it's still got all the flavors, everything, but it's only that big. So that's ruchi and asakti. They're the aspect, because it doesn't have the intensity. It's called you're getting that taste, so the focus is on that or on attachment. So it's called by those names. But when it becomes full, then it's called bhava. Does that make sense? But before that, then the other stages in that, then those are just a portion. But there, it has fullness, but it's small.
It's small, but still 50% bhava.
50%?
Bhava.
Generally, we use 100%. You don't use 100%? Oh, you mean it's in the croissant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought I was thinking halva.
No.
Yeah, 50. It's still 50% butter, but it's just this big. So, I mean, you know, you'll get a taste, but it won't be full.
And the purpose of the taste is for you to hanker.
Yeah, yeah. Because then you want more. I mean, you always... You know, what is it? That taste for which one always hankers?
Yeah.
You know, the chaitra dharpam, yeah. So it's So that's the uniqueness of it. So there is only bhakti. There isn't something else. Bhakti is what it's by bhakti you get bhakti, and by bhakti then you attain bhakti, and then you're absorbed. So bhakti is the process, bhakti is the goal. And so bhava, that's just the feelings of it. Those are you know, that has all those different, you know, we talk about all those different bhavas. So you have the stai bhava, which is the rati, the taste. Then you have the vi bhava, the anu bhava, the sattvika bhavas, and the vyabhichari bhavas. So those are all bhava. But now when those are intensified, then you get prema, then you get sneha, then you get like this, and it goes up. And depending, I think it's for those three, they work in one way, and yeah, I think it's those means Shanta, you don't have that. It's just they're always situated in that nice platform, and it's always stable like that. So they have rati, and they taste that bhava like that. But then with Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya, then from prema, and then it can, depending upon the one, it can go further. I think the servitorship just is prema.
Yes.
Like that. The friendship can get up to sneha.
First pranaya to prema.
Pranaya, and then sneha.
Yeah.
And then the parental?
Parental goes up to raga.
Raga. But so for that. But then for the conjugal, the order is slightly different.
Sneha, prema, then mana, then sneha, then pranaya. Pranaya and then sneha. Prema, manas, pranaya.
Yeah, because there's different reasons why the heart would melt.
Yeah.
Like that. And so the point is if you're not paying attention, then there's anger. As we said, that's the natural feminine reaction.
And man is only for conjugal.
Yeah, and man's only in conjugal. The others will never have that. You know, because it's part of the... You know, that's why I always says they're mock fighting. So man is the fighting within the conjugal. That. But otherwise, then they do the cowherd boys, you know, like that. And, you know, I'm here, you know, see my arms and all that. And it's Krishna over here. You know, it's like, you know, why you're worrying, you know, like that? I've already defeated him, you know, like that. What? It's like, I think it's why you're wrestling with this guy? Because I already defeated, what do you call it? And he was defeated by Balaram. And I've defeated Balaram. So why are you fighting with him? You know.
And then mana doesn't work in Sakyaras. If somebody does mana, he's harassed more. If somebody he's upset, then you harass him more.
Yeah.
It doesn't work in friendship. If somebody is upset, you.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody you do something and they get upset, then you bother them more like that. But in conjugal rasa, you can't do that. You have to immediately retreat. Like that. So it's just different. So those three, it means shanta has its own how it moves, then the three middle rasas how they move, and then conjugal because shanta is coming from sandini, then dasya, vatsalya, and sakya are coming from samvit, and maturja is coming from vladini. So then they have the different ways they move. You know, so it's three different features. So we can't complain, oh no, but why it's not logical, why it's not like this?
It's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And what's so mind-blowing is that all these personalities are willing to come here and tell us idiots about all this. You know what I'm saying?
This morning I was reading about Krishna entering Indraprastha. I mean, the scene, Maharaj Yudhishthira just kept kissing Krishna constantly, just couldn't let go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, it's such a scene. Because the love is so great. It's just what is the Vishaya? Not Vishaya. The Vishaya is these. What are the
Alambana.
Yeah, what are the alambanas? And therefore, what's, you know, and the specific udipans, that will be different. You know, certain things are common, but certain things you'll see in majesty, those things will come out more prominent. And in sweetness, others will come out as prominent. And different rasas, they have their different positions and all that. What's prominent for them and what's not? Even all the secondary rasas have all these. You know, so that's why they kind of have their own position. They're actually vyavicharis, but because they have all these elements of rasa, then they're called that. Because otherwise, the other ones just have they just come and go. But these ones have you know what causes it and other things like that. And the other ones are just natural flowing from one. Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.